You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
What's up, nerds? It's time for another episode of the Thunder Quack Podcast, and this week we are talking about Tales of the Empire, Fantastic Four's villain being cast, possibly, new Matrix movies, and Sonic the Hedgehog 3 is the Avengers of the franchise. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome back to the Thunderquack Podcast. I am your host, Michael Cohn, and joining me, as always, the incorrigible Joe Hogan. Joe? Hey, Joe. Joe, are you there? Okay. Well, I guess Joe's not on this episode. No, Joe is out for this one. So you guys, we're on our own. You know, it's just us. It's kind of an episode of Off the Record, but not quite, because we are going to get into the news and we are going to do our usual deal. But this will be interesting. This is the first solo episode of the Thunderquack Podcast. I'm sure Joe will be back next week. He needed today off, and so here I am, all by myself, talking to myself. So let's get like right into the news. Although I'm gonna tease it, I do have something cool to talk about a little bit later, but let's start off with the news that dropped just after we finished recording Rebel Cells last week. We recorded last Wednesday night, and then Thursday morning StarWars.com dropped this news about Star Wars Tales of the Empire, a new six-part animated anthology in the style of Star Wars Tales of the Jedi. This is coming from StarWars.com. Journey into the fearsome galactic empire through the eyes of two warriors on divergent paths. Night Sister Morgan Elsbeth and former Jedi Barriss Offee. Like the first season following Ahsoka Tano and Count Dooku, Tales of the Empire focuses on previously untold events in the lives of the featured characters. The trailer teases that we'll learn how a young Morgan Elsbeth navigates the expanding Imperial world towards a path of vengeance, while former Jedi Barriss Offee does what she must to survive a rapidly changing galaxy. The choices they make will define their destinies. And this is coming May the 4th. Hence the surprise reveal. So soon. I think we were kind of expecting to get this sort of thing on the day of the finale, May 1st, for Bad Batch. But here we are. We've got a brand new season of, I guess we're just Star Wars Tales. Like, I think that's probably how I'll end up referring to it. It's just Star Wars Tales. And this season is Tales of the Empire. So that's exciting. Not the characters that we were expecting. We were expecting more, first off, we were expecting more Tales of the Jedi. So I think based on that, we had picked different characters, certainly. But what I find the most interesting, and I noted this on my reaction on social media, as well as the little snippet that I recorded for Rebel Cells as I was editing the podcast, this news dropped. And that is that both of these characters are actually very, very tied to Ahsoka Tano. And this kind of points in the direction for me of Ahsoka season 2. I don't know necessarily that, you know, I think Morgan Elsbeth is a character who is sort of dealt with. I don't want to spoil anything from the first season of Ahsoka. And also, nothing means anything in Star Wars, so it doesn't really matter. But going back and getting her backstory is something that I think we've all kind of been asking for. And so I think that that'll really inform a bit more of, you know, her motivation and that sort of thing in the first season of Ahsoka. So I'm looking forward to that. Barriss Offee is a character who, again, very connected to Ahsoka. And very well could show up in season two of that show. It would be wild. It would be a very interesting thing for them to have her survive throughout the Imperial and Rebellion eras, and make it into the New Republic, and then you know, go off on whatever adventure and end up intersecting with Ahsoka. The real question there would be, like, are we talking, you know, a good guy, bad guy sort of thing at that point? Is she going to be an adversary or an ally? What we see in this teaser trailer, to me, has her sort of conflicted. So I'm very interested to see where this goes, whether or not, you know, she ends up with the Inquisitorius, and why we didn't see her in Star Wars Rebels and all of that sort of thing. But we don't have that long to wait. So no doubt we will talk a great deal more about this on Rebel Cells on Wednesday, releasing probably on Thursday morning. But for now, I'm just excited. I'm just amped up for this one. Like, I'm really, really looking forward to it. Second piece of news. Let's jump into this one. This one comes from IGN.com, and this is some Fantastic Four news, some MCU stuff. Fantastic Four has reportedly cast its Silver Surfer, potentially confirming a persistent fan theory in the process. In a report by Deadline, which can be corroborated by IGN's own sources, the upcoming MCU reboot, directed by Matt Shakman, has chosen Julia Garner for the role of the classic villain, seemingly lending weight to the growing belief among some fans that the new movie is set in an alternate version of the MCU. I should note this article is written by Kat Bailey over on IGN. Garner, best known for her Emmy-winning turn as Ruth in Ozark, will reportedly play Shala Ball, who was first introduced as Norrin Rad's lover in Silver Surfer number 1. However, the Deadline report notes that she is playing an alternate version of the Silver Surfer, suggesting that this is the version from Earth-X, one of Marvel's most notable alternate realities. Now here's the thing. Here's the thing that is such a misnomer whenever people talk about alternate realities in these types of reports. It's like, well, okay, so she's going to play Shala Ball from Earth-X. No, she's not, because Shala Ball in Earth-X is Shala Ball in Earth-X, which is a comic book. There may be an Earth-X live action universe, but they are not doubtful they would be the same thing. So Earth-X, for those who don't know, is very similar to Kingdom Come from the DC universe, which is an alternate future reality, where, you know, it's an older Superman, older Batman, older Wonder Woman. Earth-X is along the same lines. It's not quite as, like, far-flung into the future. Kingdom Come is like a, you know, decades later sort of story. Earth-X doesn't quite have that vibe, but it is very similar in tone. In that it is sort of like a very grounded, very real, mature look at that universe. And a lot of the Earth-X characters are sort of darker, more mature versions of themselves. It's one of those things where, like, it kind of rides the line where it's like these are obviously alternates, but it's not quite. It's not quite like Spider-Verse levels of alternate, where, you know, like it's a different person and all of that. Like, I believe Spider-Man is still Peter Parker and all of that sort of thing. So, I do get the feeling that with Fantastic Four, that this movie is going to be, not mainline MCU universe, not the prime timeline. Right. Which was erroneously referred to as 616, which the 616 is the comic book storyline. That's that universe. I believe that the MCU is like 999 something or other. But this world that the Fantastic Four is taking place in is another one entirely. By all reports, like, it's aesthetically going to be sort of like a futuristic 1960s, which will be crazy to me if they do this, because they'll have gotten there before DC, and DC should have been the ones to do this a decade ago. This is what Superman should be like. Superman should take place in an alternate world of tomorrow, right? Like, it should always, actually not even 1960s for that one, like a 1940s. And you see that in the Bruce Timm stuff. Kind of lose it by the time that you get to Justice League and JLU, but in Batman the Animated Series as well as Superman the Animated Series, they are very much futuristic versions of 1940s Gotham and Metropolis. There's a lot of Art Deco, there's a lot of sort of that angular design and that sort of thing when it comes to the architecture of both of those cities in those, as well as like the Batmobile is a very Art Deco design. That whole series is very Art Deco. So I've said this a million times. You guys are probably tired of hearing me say it. But for me, that's the world that I feel DC should exist in. It'll be weird to me if MCU gets there first, because then it'll feel like DC is copying, when really I feel like it's kind of the other way around. Because as much as Marvel existed in the 1960s, and obviously these characters, I mean, it was founded in the 1960s, and these characters obviously being the first characters in the Marvel universe, that is their point of origin. So I understand how this is like the impetus of getting them in there as 1960s style characters. For me, the thing about Marvel is that Marvel is always contemporary. It doesn't exist in a heightened world. It exists very much in our world with this added element, and so it's constantly having to readjust to that reality. But it is grounded in reality, whereas DC is much more the fantastical world, right? The city of tomorrow being Metropolis and Gotham City being what it is. And I find that those work the best. That setting works the best when you lean into that heightened element, you lean into that fantasy aspect of it, because those characters, I think, are a little bit more fantastical than the characters of the MCU and Marvel. The MCU especially, where like the MCU, it's all science. There's very little actual magic. Everything is kind of explained as science, even the stuff that appears magical. So to me, I look at that and I go, okay, well, like, yeah, we can kind of do this. And Multiverse of Madness played with this a little bit when we went to that alternate reality and met that version of Mr. Fantastic and, you know, Professor Xavier and all of that, because that was a little bit more of like a heightened world. That was a little bit more of a comic book ish world. I mean, the question there is like, is that the same one that we see at the end of Ms. Marvel? Is that the same one as X-Men 97? The music that we hear when we see Xavier is the X-Men 97 theme. Does that mean anything, or are they just doing that to hype us up? Who knows? And will we ever get answers? Who knows? Probably not. But yeah, this is one where I think they'll have to be very clear. But I think the interesting aspect here is that they can, this will obviously not be that world from Multiverse of Madness, because that one already had its Mr. Fantastic in John Krasinski, but this will be a different one. The opportunity that they present themselves with is the ability to make these the first superheroes of that universe, which is an interesting way to do it, is to set them in their own distinct universe. But I just worry about, you know, not really worry, I'm just curious, I think, about what that ultimately means for the MCU as a whole. Obviously everything is building towards Secret War, and as a result it's kind of all up in the air, and it doesn't really matter, because it's all going to get thrown in the chopper anyways. The chopper, and spit out as a completely different thing by the end of it. I really think when we come out of Secret War, it'll be a new status quo, and it'll be interesting to see how movie fans react to that. Because as comic book readers, we're so used to it. You know, it's like in Pacific Rim when they're like the rifts are getting bigger and they're happening more closely together. And it's like with comic books, that's how it happens. It's like it feels like there's a reboot of everything every like 2 years now. And the reboots are more and more ridiculous every time they do it. But it's sort of almost boring at this point to comic book fans, but to movie going fans, I think this will be a first for them of like, so what you knew before is all out the window and everything is very different. And we'll just have to wait and see. We'll just have to wait and see which direction they decide to go with this stuff. I think the inclusion of Silver Surfer is of note because obviously, you know, we've had three Fantastic Four movies already. This is the fourth Fantastic Four, fourth time's a charm. The first one dealt with Doom. The second one was very much Silver Surfer and Galactus, for better or worse. Definitely for worse. The third one I've never seen and I don't really know what it's about. I think they just kind of fight themselves. Like, I think there's just sort of inner conflict in that one, and then maybe a Doctor Doom of some sort. I don't know. I actually have no idea. I wanted them to fight Mole Man because that's who they fight in the first episode, first issue of Fantastic Four. So I'm like, I still hold out hope that that's sort of part of the origin story, that we get to see Mole Man and that because especially if it is this like heightened 1960s style universe, I think that then we can do that. It can be a little bit camp and it can be a little bit fun. We can have the introduction of some of the more zany characters that we wouldn't get to see in the standard MCU. So I don't know, like. We know so little. We're so far out from this. I mean, I think you know, these pieces of news happen because, you know, we're getting close to. Are they shooting it? I don't know if they're shooting it. I don't know if it's fully in production. I know, like, we've got Superman is in production at the moment, but I don't know if Fantastic Four is. But this stuff usually happens, like, we get it because it's imminent, right? That they're going to start shooting it, so people are going to see people going on the set and that sort of thing. Maybe we'll get an unofficial announcement soon, but nothing official as of yet. So, like, take this all with a grain of salt, but it is Deadline and IGN both reporting it and corroborating it via sources. So this seems pretty legit. But, you know, time will tell, and I'm sure, you know, they'll let us know when it's time for us to find out. Right now with the MCU, it's just all eyes forward to Deadpool and Wolverine this summer, and that's really, I don't even know, like what's the next MCU series? I don't even know right now. We're in such a weird spot with the MCU and with Star Wars, which we'll talk about Star Wars as well really quick, and just note that Mandalorian Grogu has its official release date set for May 22nd, 2026, which is cool because that'll be like my birthday weekend in 2 years. But it's a little bit disappointing that we are that far out, right? And we already kind of knew that it was 2026, but just the fact that nothing else with Star Wars is really happening between now and then other than a few of these shows, Mandalorian and Grogu being that far out, I wonder, like, it has to be like the end of all of this stuff, right? It has to be sort of like the close of the Mando era story. So I think one of the reasons why they've pushed it that far is so that they can have Skeleton Crew has to come out. I don't know if they'll do something with Book of Boba Fett with those characters, because obviously those characters need to show up. But Ahsoka Season 2 is probably also required, right? And Ahsoka Season 2, I think, will probably set up a lot of the Thrawn stuff that needs to happen for Mandalorian and Grogu, if it is in fact the finale of everything. So but just the idea that, you know, we got season 3 of Mando around this time last year, and then Actually, I think that we were, like, wrapping up around this time last year. Nothing this year, nothing next year. So it'll have been 3 years since we saw those characters. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. They could show up in Skeleton Crew. They could show up in Ahsoka. There could be shows that are in production that we actually don't know about. But I'm curious about this. I'm curious about the MCU right now. What's coming up, but they're really being kind of playing close to the vest with a lot of this stuff at the moment. But let's take a look at the list of, I'm just bringing it up right now, MCU movies and projects and stuff like that that are coming this year. So obviously, you know, we're in the midst of X-Men 97, thankfully. Oh, we got Deadpool and Wolverine in July. Agatha, Coven of Chaos, Agatha All Along. I can't remember what they've landed on calling this show. That is slated for fall of this year. Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man is also slated for this year. That is another Marvel animation project. It is meant to be like actual MCU. Like, this is, I believe, going to be the origin of Tom Holland's Spider-Man. So, oh my goodness, there's a lot of news in this article. I'm on Variety right now, and there's a bunch in here that I actually didn't know about with this show. This version of Peter's life will feature a bunch of new characters. Maybe this isn't the MCU. Spider-Man. Early press materials has indicated that this show is a prequel to the Tom Holland storyline in the MCU, but details unveiled at San Diego Comic-Con 2022, like the appearance of Harry and Norman Osborn, threw cold water on the idea. So, multiverse? Because we've got characters, we've got Nico Minoru from Runaways, Amadeus Cho, who becomes Hulk at one point. A Wakandan exchange student, Harry Osborn, with Harry's father Norman serving as Peter's mentor. And then Charlie Cox will be voicing Daredevil. Doctor Strange will appear. And then Paul F. Tompkins is playing a new character named Bentley Whitman. Interesting. We'll have to wait and see. And then after that, we jump all the way into 2025 with Captain America, Brave New World, which got pushed. Everything gets pushed these days. Thunderbolts is meant to be May of next year, and then Fantastic Four in July of next year. Blade November 7th, but man, I don't know where we're at with Blade right now. It feels like Blade is very much up in the air. Kang Dynasty is still slated for May 1st, 2026, but Kang Dynasty is not happening, guys. Let's just be clear on that. That one's not happening. And then Secret War is May 7th, 2027. Daredevil Born Again does not have a date. I think we might actually get that this year, because they are filming it right now. Eyes of Wakanda. Let's see, it's a Black Panther spinoff series, an animated series about the Wakandan warriors who are tasked to travel the world retrieving dangerous vibranium artifacts. That's interesting. And then What If Season 3, we don't have a date for, but theoretically probably later this year. And then Ironheart is up in the air. I don't know what's going on with that one. Wonder Man is another one. Wonder Man's way out. I don't think we're getting Wonder Man anytime soon. Armor Wars, I think, yeah, transformed. It changed from a series to a movie. And then Marvel Zombies is another one of the Disney Plus shows. Like, I think this will probably be animated. From Robert Kirkman, that's exciting. The original series, the original comic series was by Robert Kirkman. I'm just glancing over this. I don't really have a lot of the details, but what else we got? Nova Vision Quest is one of those ones that's out there. Echo already came out this year. I don't know what's going. Like, we're so in the dark with the MCU at the moment. I'm sure that we will get more than just Echo, X-Men 97, and Deadpool and Wolverine this year. We're going to get some of these other shows, but they haven't really told us. So stay tuned, I guess. We'll talk about it as soon as we know, but that's what's on the slate right now. And Fantastic Four is obviously the biggest thing on the horizon. And we're more than a year away from that one. Here's another piece of news. A fifth Matrix movie is on the way. This one is also coming from IGN. This is Alex Stedman. Warner Brothers announced today with The Martian and The Cabin in the Woods director Drew Goddard on board to write and direct. Now, Drew Goddard made some pretty good stuff. Those two, The Martian and The Cabin in the Woods, both great films. It'll mark the first Matrix installment to not have Lana or Lily Wachowski in the directing chair, although Lana Wachowski will executive produce. In its announcement today, WB did not reveal if any of the key cast members like Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss will be returning, nor did it disclose any details about the plot. I'm down for more Matrix. Obviously, we do not have a lot of details here. We really don't know much of anything about this. This is just an announcement. But I loved Resurrections. Fantastic movie. Really, really good. And in the lead up to it, I rewatched all three original Matrix films, as well as the Animatrix. And man, I know that people give those movies a lot of flack. If you haven't been hanging around Thunderquack for long enough that you've listened to those, I would say go back and listen to those episodes. I think they're really, really good, where Amanda and I talk about the Matrix trilogy in the lead up to Resurrections. Those movies are so much better than how they were received at the time. And I think it's actually a little bit, you know, of an injustice how they get treated and how they get referred to, because they are actually really, really great films. Once you understand what they're about, which if you think that they're about computer hacking and kung fu, then and a robot apocalypse, then you're on the wrong track. And so I think that's what a lot of people went into those sequels looking for, and what they got instead was a lot of fairy tale allegory how do I even put it? Because it's not as simple as just saying that it's a trans allegory, because it is a trans allegory. Absolutely. So much of it, of all three films, of all four films, have to do with that. But it's about so much more than that. It is, I think, really about, I don't really have the terms for it in my head at the moment. But to me, that they're very much about the idea of what's the definition of our spirit or soul, whatever it is that makes us up, our personality, versus the physical reality of that, versus the truth of all of it. So obviously all very like heady esoteric stuff. With the Wachowskis not being involved as much in this one, Lana Wachowski, Lana Wachowski? Yeah, Lana Wachowski will executive produce, so obviously she'll still be part of it, but being the first one that branches out, I just hope that it maintains what those other films are and doesn't go into a more pure action sort of direction. That's not necessarily what I want, but I think it's probably what WB wants, and that's why I worry about it. But Drew Goddard coming in, you don't bring in Drew Goddard just to do a straight action movie. It's going to have more to it, I would assume, with his involvement. So this is obviously very far out. This is not something that we'll be seeing anytime soon. But I it's exciting nonetheless, and I just wanted to call it out, and get everybody to go check out Matrix Resurrections if they have not, because I love that movie so much. It's so, so good. There's so much in that movie to talk about. It's funny, if we did a perfect 10 on the Matrix, it would be the one that I want to do, more than the original, because I really love a lot of the ideas in Resurrections and where it took the whole mythology of it and built on it, and really like didn't correct, because I think that the original three films are very good. As I said, like, I think that they're very underrated. I think people don't give them credit for being as good as they are, but I think it cleared up some of the things that at the time, and certainly after, until Resurrections came out, people would have debated a little bit more. And it's like, well, is it about this? Is it about that? Did this happen? Did that happen? And then Resurrection sort of solidified a lot of that stuff, and then explained without explaining multiple things, based on new characters introduced and all of that. Also, like, here's the real thing with Resurrections is that Jessica Henwick is one of the lead characters, and Jessica Henwick should be the lead in more things. She should be the lead in lots of things. So I'm still crossing my fingers that we get her back in the MCU with Daredevil and those characters coming back into the MCU, and that we get the continuation of Colleen Wing's story and her becoming Iron Fist. Because, man, the end of that second season of Iron Fist, I know everybody else hated Iron Fist, but I loved Iron Fist. I loved all of those Netflix shows. Except my Punisher wasn't my cup of tea, so I'd never watched season two, and I never watched season two of Jessica Jones either. But yeah, like those main Defenders ones, like I loved those shows. So I would love to see her back in the MCU. How are we back on the MCU? We're talking about The Matrix. Go watch Matrix Resurrections. It's a very good film. And then the last piece of news that I want to jump into is executive producer Toby Asher saying that the upcoming Sonic the Hedgehog 3 will be an Avengers level event. As a Sonic the Hedgehog fan, of course, this gets me very excited. If you're not a Sonic fan, I don't know why you care about Sonic 3, and it's not for you. So, you know, like, don't talk about it on the internet unless you decide to become a Sonic fan. But as a Sonic fan, I know what this means without even needing to read the article. There are so many characters in the Sonic universe, whether it's, you know, the video games, mainline characters, you know, you've got your core cast of Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, Amy, Rouge the Bat, Big the Cat, Shadow obviously coming in Sonic 3. I mean, we expect that Rouge is also coming in Sonic 3. This all but confirms it for me, actually, that Rouge will be in this movie. But like beyond that, you've got comic book characters. I don't think we'll see comic book characters in the movie, but the Sonic the Hedgehog comics, there are two main continuities with it. There's the 90s and early 2000s continuity, which involves, you know, Princess Sally Acorn and Antoine Decoulette and Bunny Rabot and all of those characters that I grew up with and love so much from those comic books, as well as the Saturday morning cartoon show. But then you've also got the newer comics, which have like a massive cast of characters that I don't know the names of because I don't read those comics, but there's like a whole bunch of them. So who knows, we might, if we're gonna see comic characters, those are the ones that we would see. But then you know, we've got additional characters from like Sonic Boom. We've got there was a Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon series. Oh man, what was that one called? Was it like Sonic Extreme or something? I can't remember what that one was called, but there's one where he's got like a sister and a brother and they all play in a band. And they have these magic necklaces that when they play their musical instruments, it's like, it's so weird, 'cause it's so not Sonic the Hedgehog. And yet I don't know why it exists. I don't understand it. And it wasn't very good as far as I am concerned, but I know that there are people who grew up with it that are fans, so I'm not going to yuck anybody else's yum, but I am going to say not for me. And then there's Sonic X, which has a whole bunch of characters from that era, from sort of like the Sonic Adventure, Sonic Advance era, like Cream the Bunny. So we really don't know a lot about Sonic 3 yet, other than Shadow being in it. I am going to say that I think Chaos might show up in it in some capacity. We might get something with that character, because you almost need to in order to have Shadow's character. It depends on which direction they're going to go with the Sonic Adventure 2 storyline, but there are just so many characters that could be brought in. There are so many characters that could be brought into this story, and I am excited for any and all of them that are going to show up. So you've also got like your built-in Endgame moment, because obviously in Endgame we've got the sorcerer sling ring portals, but in Sonic, in the movie franchise, we've got the rings, and the rings are able to open up portals to different worlds. And although we know that Sonic has his bag of rings, we know that others have these rings as well, and it's how they travel from world to world across the galaxy. So I'm excited. I'm very excited. I'm so excited for this movie. I am so excited for the upcoming Knuckles series. And I'm really, really excited to tell you guys. The reason why I left this news story for last and didn't do it first is because I wanted to drop this little tidbit at the end. We are going to be doing, I've sort of teased this a little bit, but here's sort of the official announcement. I'm going to be doing a side podcast series specifically dedicated to the Sonic movie universe. I'm going to be joined on that show by Hope Molinax, who will be new to the Thunderquack audience. But if you hang out online in geeky circles, then you will no doubt be aware. Or I should hope that you would be aware of her prolific presence online, writing for Geeky Waffle, Collider, all sorts of places, and as well as podcasting on Jay Guys and Jedi and appearances on many other things. So I'm really excited to sit down with Hope and talk about Sonic the Hedgehog, a fandom that the both of us share, and actually we have quite a lot in common. So I think we're gonna release it next week. I think it'll probably be coming next week. But we're gonna record this week, so we'll be recording about the first Sonic movie, and basically we'll have episodes about the first and second Sonic movies. And then we're going to go into the Knuckles series when it starts on April 26th, and we'll have rundowns, recaps of every episode of the Knuckles series, which I cannot wait for. I'm so excited for. And then assuming that you guys all like it and we want to keep going, we'll definitely come back to it in December when Sonic 3 lands. And maybe even before then, if we get, trailers or whatever, just to talk about it. But you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. If you are on the Thunderquack Patreon, or you are subscribed to the Thunderquack feed where you are listening to this podcast, then you are in luck, because it'll be right here. It's just going to be right in this feed. The same as we have done in the past with some of our other shows, like Nuff Said, where it's like, there isn't enough of this content for us to have an ongoing podcast, but it is definitely something that I want to do. And so it's just going to live inside the Thunderquack feed. So you'll be getting it here. And the name of that show, I'm not going to reveal here. I was going to, and then I just realized, you know what I want to do? I was working on the logo on the weekend, and I will be revealing it over on our social media. So make sure that you're following us on TikTok, on Instagram, on Twitter, on YouTube, and you'll get the reveal of the title of this new Sonic the Hedgehog dedicated show over on that social media. That'll be this week. So when you're listening to this, when you're hearing this, whether you're hearing it on Patreon on Monday or you're hearing it on the podcast feed on Thursday, go check make sure that you're subscribed to those social media feeds. It won't be up on Monday. It won't be up yet, because I actually still have to put everything together. But yeah, it'll be up either Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm sure. So look forward to that, that reveal of the title of our new Sonic the Hedgehog podcast. But like I said, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to subscribe to anything. It'll be right here on the Thunderquack podcast feed. So if you're subscribed, which you should be, I hope you are, then you've got it. And of course, that's all of our news. But before I jump into some of the other stuff that we'll talk about on this episode, which will be a shorter episode, we'll probably be running in at about an hour because it's just me. But I just want to tell you guys about Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/thunderquack to get the episodes early. You get them on Mondays as opposed to Thursdays. As well as weekly episodes of Thunderquack Off the Record, which is our Patreon exclusive podcast. And on that one, I just deep dive into topics and generally this has been brought to my attention, somehow end up on leftist socialism rants and that sort of thing. No matter what the topic is, whether it's Ghostbusters or movie theaters or what have you, it always ends up coming back to like universal basic income and social safety net stuff and all of that sort of thing. It's a fun podcast, Off the Record, which you can get by subscribing over on Patreon for $5 a month. Along with getting the episodes early and getting that exclusive podcast, you will also get all of the bonus content that we did during the pledge drive in February. As well as, there are other like little tidbits and stuff like that every now and then that you get to participate in. One of those that'll be happening later this month, we don't have a date for it yet. By next week, I'll have the date. But we are doing our Thunderquack book club and we're having our first Discord hangout for that. So make sure that you are a member of our Discord server, thunderquack.com/discord, which will redirect you over to the invite to join our server. So make sure you're on that. And if you are a patron, then you will be able to join us for our book club hangout, this one will be led by Carl from Wampa's Lair, and it is for the book Shatterpoint, the Star Wars book by Matthew Stover. So, a great book. It'll be a great conversation, I'm sure. I will be there. Carl will be there. Hopefully you guys will be there. Come hang out with us. That's one of the cool perks that you get as a member of the Patreon. So patreon.com/thunderquack. Thank you to everybody who supports us over there. Thank you to all our new members. We've got several new members lately. It's really exciting to see the community grow. If you can't support us on Patreon, that's all right. You can support us in other ways, by obviously subscribing here, following us on all of our social media platforms, especially like TikTok is sort of my new one. And I'm doing a lot of, I don't know if it's exclusive content, cause sometimes I cross post it over on Instagram, but it is definitely, without TikTok, I wouldn't be making this type of content that's going up, like these Lego builds and stuff like that. So definitely make sure that you're following us over there. That's a huge support as well. And then, tell a friend. Share the podcast, and obviously going to whatever podcast service you listen to on and leaving a rating and review, which helps other people find the podcast. So if you can't help monetarily, you can help in those other ways, and all of that is awesome. But regardless, just happy to have you as part of the community and hanging out, listening to the podcast and chatting, hopefully on the Discord. Hopefully you hang out in the Discord. We've got an awesome community over there. So many great people and such a good time. Good discussions that happen, as well as just a lot of sharing of memes. Thunderquack.com/Discord to come hang out with us there. With that, let me just jump into the games that I am gaming. So I continue to play Lego Fortnite, but also the Avatar Korra stuff dropped, the missions for that dropped. So I've been playing some regular Fortnite as well. But I'm really excited about Sonic the Hedgehog right now. So I jumped in and I started playing through some more of Sonic Origins. I played through Sonic 1 when the game came out and then got distracted by other things. So I'm jumping back into Sonic Origins to play through that. just to kind of reacquaint myself with my Sonic roots. Yeah, so much fun. So much fun. I'm playing through Sonic CD right now, which is a very frustrating game. Not one of my favorites in the series, but I'll get through it because I've never actually beaten it before. So I'm going to play through it. I'm going to beat it. And then I'll move on to Sonic 2, which is one of my faves. And then Sonic 3, which is my favorite. Sonic 3 is my favorite Sonic game of all time. So good. I mean, I don't think it gets better than Sonic 3. Even Sonic and Knuckles, which is technically like the second half of that game, is not as good as Sonic 3. Sonic 3 is just a perfect Sonic game as far as I'm concerned. So I'm really excited to get to Sonic 3, but I got to get through those other ones first. But yeah, that's pretty much it for gaming right now. I haven't really had a lot of time actually for gaming lately. I've been really, really busy. So that's where like the Lego Fortnite and Fortnite in general is really nice, 'cause it's something that I can just drop in and play. But playing a Sonic game is very similar as well. It doesn't require a lot. It's not very heavy lift. So you can just drop in, play a couple of levels, and then you're good to go. So that's what I've been playing. But I really, really need to get back to Sea of Stars, and I think I might do that soon. Other than that, I was supposed to watch Shogun. I haven't yet. But I will. But you know, Joe's not here this week, so thankfully I have a bit of a reprieve, and I can get away with it for now. But I have continued to binge the Always Sunny podcast, which is so, so good. If you're a fan of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, I can't recommend it highly enough. It's such a great podcast companion to it. And I mean, like, it's just good in its own right. X-Men 97 at the top of my list, Bad Batch at the top of my list. But other than that, oh my goodness, there was something else that I was watching, and I can't think of it right now. I will tell you that a new episode of Bluey just dropped, and there is a shocking twist at the end of the episode, which I didn't think was coming for Bluey. So, stuff going on in Bluey. I will say this. This is probably the last thing that I'll talk about before we go. On Saturday morning, I was driving the girls to dance early in the morning. Kara's dance competitions are coming up this coming weekend, or starting this weekend. It's the next 3 weekends in a row, and so she's got to be there early at dance at 8:45 to practice for her comp. And so it's very early, and we're driving, and I hadn't really gotten a lot of sleep the night before, and I told the girls, oh yeah, tomorrow a new episode of Bluey comes out. Just one episode, not the rest of the season or whatever, but just one new episode. And then, you know, next week is another one, and the next week is another one after that. And the one that's coming this weekend is The Sign, which is the 28-minute episode, which normally an episode of Bluey is like 7 minutes long. So really, really excited for this extended episode and what it's all about. But I had told the girls about this, and they were excited, and we were just kind of driving, and I was just thinking to myself, and some Bluey music was also the reason why I brought it up, is because it popped on in one of our playlists. And and I just started thinking about Bluey, how much I love the show. It's so, so good. And I think I'll, not this week, I think probably next week, or maybe even the week after, maybe waiting for the season to finish, for season 3 to be done, because I don't know what that last episode will be about. But waiting for it to be fully complete, and then I'll do an off the record where I go really deep into Bluey and what I love about it. But just to recount this story, I'm driving, and I'm just sort of thinking to myself as I'm listening to this music, a season 4 has not been announced, and the studio that works on Bluey, they are not currently working on new episodes. So we're kind of in this spot right now of like, is season 3 the end? I don't think it is, because it really feels like these last few episodes and the hype that they're building, like it's building towards something. I think one of the things that's happening, my guess here, is that, you know, they kind of recorded the first batch of episodes, like the first season of episodes and the second and third seasons fairly close together, and the girls that voice Bluey and Bingo have sort of stayed similar age and similar tenor to their voice, similar tone to their voice. I think now, from the point that Bluey started, because Bluey has blown up here now in North America, but it really was like, it was sort of over the pandemic that people discovered it on Disney Plus. But not even like when Disney Plus launched, but sort of like a little while after Disney Plus had launched, people discovered this show. I feel like I was actually like there before a lot of people, not for like the cool cred, but just like interestingly, because we were on Disney Plus so much, I think we just checked it out. I just checked out with the girls. I don't remember why. I don't recall anybody like telling me about it or anything. I think we just had watched a bunch of stuff and it kept coming up, so we just checked it out. But I think those girls have aged a lot, and I think what we might end up with is a time jump, and coming back into it, that Bluey and Bingo will have aged. We'll skip over a year or two of their lives in order to match a little bit closer to where the actors are now, to match their voices. I think that's where it's headed. But what hit me was the idea, I don't think that this is the case. I think we're getting more Bluey. It's such a phenomenon. It's so successful. I can't imagine them stopping at this point. I don't think Disney would let them. Even though Disney doesn't own it, right? Like it's a ABC, which not ABC in the United States, which is Disney, but ABC in Australia, the Australian Broadcasting Company, a company corporation. I don't know what it's called, but it's their show. But I don't think Disney would let them shut it down. I think that they would just pay for another season because it's so popular. I had this moment thinking, what if season three is the end and we don't get to see any more of these characters? And when I say that, like, I had a similar feeling, not at the thought of not getting to see Bingo and Bluey grow up, that I, not the same, obviously not to the same degree, but it is coming from the same place, and I think it's very much connected to this fact. But it's very similar feeling when I think about my girls and intrusive thoughts pop in or whatever, and then you think, you know, I mean, I think about this stuff a lot since my dad died. So it's that sort of a thing where it's like, if I don't, like, I can't imagine not getting to see them grow up. And I had this same moment with these two cartoon dogs and worrying about them and not getting to see them grow up and not getting to see where they go with their lives and that sort of thing. And I just, it genuinely made me sad. It genuinely made me sad. And I share that just to share a little bit of vulnerability, because I think that you guys enjoy it when I do that from time to time. I'm all by myself, so I can do it right now. But also, just to get across to people who don't watch Bluey how meaningful the show is. This is not, you know, a phenomenon like Pokemon or Tickle Me Elmo or something like that. That's just like a popular thing. Man, those are dated references. I need some newer references for that sort of thing. But the reason why Bluey has become the phenomenon that it has is because not only is it a great show for kids, but the stories, I think, really resonate with parents. They really resonate with adults. I think that there are a lot of us in the millennial and Gen Z generations that are, the term is reparenting ourselves. I think that Bluey is an avenue for that. I think that a lot of people are using it in that way. I think first and foremost, because it, like, Bandit and Chili, Bluey's parents, really exemplify, they exemplify two things. They exemplify the type of parents that I think that we all wish that we had, and for those of us who are parents, the type of parents that we wish that we were. And it's not to say that they're perfect. They're flawed characters, and they do have flaws, but they do the work, they put in the time and the effort. And they're there for their kids in a way that I think is very challenging. It's very difficult, and it can be It can be a little bit disheartening to see it, because sometimes you're like, well, I'm not that good of a parent, and I don't think I ever will be. But it's also a little bit hopeful, because it's like, well, it's good to know what it's supposed to be, you know, to have an example. And it's so funny that it's this cartoon dog family. But I think the other part of it is that they live in a world that I think that we all wish we were living in right now. Man, I'm getting way too deep for this. I need to save a lot of this for the off the record when I do talk about Bluey. But just really quickly, and then I will end up talking more about this on off the record at some point in the next couple of weeks. It's very much like, because Bluey is very much like now, like it's very much 2024, like the 2020s, but it has the vibe that I think that we all felt, those of us who were alive at the time in the 90s. And you know, there was a lot more, it felt safer, it felt more secure than it does now. And it felt like there was a future. And I think the world that we're living in presently, it's very difficult to see a positive future because of climate change, because of political radicalization. And the continuously growing wealth gap in the world. It's not just here, it's not just Canada or the United States or North America, it's the whole world. And the world that Bluey exists in feels like everybody's got what they need, and so they're able to focus on themselves, being better and raising better kids, raising the next generation to be even better than they are. And I think like that is very much an ideal world that we all wish that we were living in. So I think that's one of the big connections there. I'm gonna take that away, and I'm gonna think about that more, and I'm gonna dig into it, and we'll get into it on off the record. Like I said, I think I'll probably wait until the end of the season, and come back to it. But yeah, that most recent episode, Ghost Basket, was mostly silly, and then it just hits you with a punch right at the end. Crystal and I like gasped and looked at each other at the end of the episode. I don't want to spoil it. For those who maybe haven't seen it yet, it is on Disney Plus in all regions right now. But yeah, man, what a show. It's so good. You know what? This is the other thing for show and tell. This is the other thing. I saw Godzilla Cross Kong, The New Empire on, Saturday night. Fantastic movie. So good. So good. I'm actually going to do, I'll do a review over on social. So YouTube or TikTok or Instagram as well. But I'll do like a little 5-minute review over there. But just to say here, man, I loved it. I had such a good time. It was so much fun at the movies. It was so silly. It was so out there. Absolutely ridiculous. And it sets the tone right off the bat that it is ridiculous, but visuals were unbelievable, just totally astounding. The human story was meh, it was fine, whatever, but Dan Stevens was hilarious. Brian Tyree, no, Andrew, man, why did his name just fell out of my brain? It just fell out of my brain. In any case, you guys know who I'm talking about from Atlanta. Yeah, Brian Tyree Henry, I had it. He was fantastic as well. Very funny. Very, very funny. Great having him back from Godzilla versus Kong. And yeah, I'm just excited. This is a universe that can just keep going. They're just going to keep going with this stuff. The great thing is that like Monarch was so much fun. Such a great series. But really, really well done. Like an actually really intelligent, really heartfelt series. Not important at all for New Empire. Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. None of what happened in Monarch has anything to do with anything that happens in New Empire. They feel almost completely separated, except unless you know what they are. And obviously it's all connected, and so you know, there's extra stuff in there to be aware of and to catch, but it was not important. It was not like if you missed Monarch that you missed a piece of the story in New Empire, which I think is great. I think it's fantastic that they did it that way. People can just go see the movies if that's all they want to do. But if you watch the show, then you're like, I'm more in on this than you are. I know how Monarch functions. Just great films, just fun films. We saw it on the IMAX screen that just opened at the theater that's 5 minutes away from me. This theater's been there forever, but they just built this IMAX screen. First off, the seats were beautiful and comfortable and amazing in all respects. Guys, the screen was so crystal clear that it was disorienting at first. How clear and bright this IMAX screen was. I am ecstatic that it is my theater, that it's the one that's like 2 seconds away from my house. I am crestfallen and heartbroken that I didn't see Frozen Empire on this screen. And I don't know, maybe I'll get another chance. I doubt it, but we'll see. Cause Godzilla and Kong, is like dominating box office. So I think it'll probably stick around in this IMAX screen for a while. But man, oh my God, this screen, you guys, beautiful, beautiful. And I really wish that I could have seen Dune as well as Dune Part 2 on a screen like this. But, you know, it is what it is. And I'll just have to live with it. But, this is now like, if there is an opportunity to see something on this IMAX screen, I'm going to do everything that I can to do it. Let's see. Dune and Ghostbusters are not playing on the IMAX screen anymore. It's just Godzilla. Tickets for Planet of the Apes are theoretically up. I haven't actually checked for Canada yet, because sometimes we don't get them at the same time. Advanced tickets. Here they are. So I'm gonna have to get these tickets for Planet of the Apes, for Kingdom of Planet of the Apes today, and make sure that I get good seats in that IMAX, because they showed a preview of it, like not just the trailer, but like a special sneak preview sort of thing. Oh man, it looks good. It looks so good. I can't wait. I'm so excited for it. Awesome. That's it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for hanging out. I hope this was all right. A solo episode is the first time. I think it went well. I think it was all right. I have a little bit of editing to do, but I think it was mostly a good episode. Don't forget to stay up to date with everything Thunderquack by following us on social media, and get extra content like reviews and reactions on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. And thank you to all our faithful Thunderquack supporters on Patreon. We couldn't do the show without your support. Head to patreon.com/thunderquack to get early access to episodes like this one, as well as bonus content. Thank you guys for listening, and stay frosty.